me. Amen. Shout to the Lord. Make a joyful noise. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together again this evening. We certainly want to thank, there's many brothers that were involved in this effort to get our plumbing flowing once again, and also to put in some more accessible clean out so that if there is a problem, it's easier to fix. So there are brothers that were digging trenches and brothers that were just doing all kinds of things. And I think they pulled a late one last night, and happy to say that things are flowing. So thank the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. 2 Samuel chapter 23, and we'll start at the 8th verse. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Esnite. He lifted up his spear against 800, which he slew at one time. 800. I think we have a hero from World War II. His name is Audie Murphy, and a real hero. He saved a lot of lives, and but he didn't take 800 enemy. 800. 800. Whom he slew at one time. This is not over a lifetime. This is one battle. Friends, I got to tell you tonight, the world is no match for anointed sons of God. When they're in the line of duty, there's nothing that's going to stop them. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there, gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was heavy, and his hand clave unto the sword. So I don't think he could open up his fingers. The sword and the hand were one, you know. I guess he didn't want to scratch his nose with that being solid in his hand. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Well, I'll say. And the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed, and he said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." And three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men. How'd you like that to be written about you. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're grateful to be gathered together once again for this midweek service. And just ask, Lord, that you would strengthen each and every one, that you'd, Lord, help our minds to be clear and our hearts to be open and to receive what we know that you have prepared for us, Lord. We pray that you would send your word before us once again, Father, to fight the battles, to face the enemy that we're going to face through the remainder of this week. And we're thankful, Lord, to know that your word won't partly overcome, won't slightly overcome, give us an edge, but your word will defeat the enemy anytime, any place, and under any circumstance. But we want to hold on to it, Lord, with the strong arm of faith, Lord, to the point where our hand won't let go of that sword, and that sword will perform, it will cut, it will divide, it will go into the hearts of the enemy and drive out every demon power, and Lord, deliver us from every circumstance. We believe that. Father, if this was true under a shadow, how much more under the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the shed blood of Calvary in this hour. Father, we just ask that your blessings be upon each and every one, that you move upon each and every heart. Father, minister to those that are listening in, and we surely give you praise and honor and glory once again. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to title the thought for a few minutes here tonight, Warrior Sons. Warrior Sons. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So this account in the book of Samuel, it's actually, it's a psalm of David that was written late in his life, and it was written at a time when he's reflecting back on prior events in his life, and no doubt it's just sharing these testimonies. Can you imagine being in the meeting where David is speaking of these things? Can you imagine how the faith would build and how the people would be encouraged? But we know that the events that took place in David's life, along with the writings, are prophetic. We know that God writes his Bible in human lives, and we know that God writes his Bible in words and letters in the scripture. And we know that the events that transpired in David's life, along with his writings, we know that they are prophetic. And they are speaking, first of all, of a son of man that would take on flesh, being born of a virgin. And they also speak in other places of the Son of God and his ministry throughout the church ages. It's the same one. And they also speak of the Son of David as Christ sits on the throne and rules and reigns as supreme king in the millennium. But we know that these prophecies, they're not revealed to everyone, though anyone that reads can read the words that are written, and they can hear the stories that are told. But that doesn't mean it's revealed to you. That doesn't mean that you have an understanding of what God is trying to convey and communicate in the story. And we also know that these prophecies, whether they're written in the lives of people or whether they're written in the Word, they're not revealed all at one time. But in the days of the voice, we are promised that the mystery of God would be finished as he hath declared to his servants the prophets. What a blessing it is to be living in this time, in this hour, because we're living in the days of the voice. So in our text tonight from 2 Samuel, David is resting in a cave, and this cave is, we understand, it's east of the city of Bethlehem and a little ways away, and perhaps a few miles. And David has been already anointed by the prophet Samuel. He's been anointed to be king. And he's anointed a full 7 years before coming into his position. And at the time of this story, he hasn't come into his kingdom yet. He's anointed of God. He's of the house of Jesse. And he's a fugitive in his own country. Saul is still on the throne. And we know that Saul started out with a great testimony, with great faith and We saw how God moved on his behalf and in his life, and we saw that he was very sincere. But now he's backslid. And out of jealousy, he's trying to have David killed. So he's jealous of David. He's fallen from the place that he once stood as a warrior for Israel, fighting to defend Israel's God-given rights from the other nations that would try to take these rights away from Israel. Saul started out right, but then he relaxed. And then he began to drift from the Lord. And then he began to use his position for gain rather than for the welfare of Israel. He began to use it for selfish motives. You know, it kind of sounds like the church after the church ages began to unfold. And they left their first love. And they began to drift. So the drama of David's life, it foreshadows Christ as Son of God, walking in the churches throughout the seven church ages. Christ has been anointed king already. Amen. By the Most High. This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him. But he hasn't come into the place in his physical kingdom as of yet. Neither has he sat upon the throne of David. He is not crowned king during the Gentile church ages. But he is crowned by his bride after the wedding supper concludes, and he comes with his bride to the earth to rule and reign through for 1,000 years, a period of time which we know is the millennium. And just as David, who foreshadows Jesus, is born in Bethlehem of Judah, so is the Lord Jesus born in Bethlehem of Judah. And Bethlehem is a unique city in Israel. And it's more or less located in the middle of the country, or the middle of the land, if you will. It's not a notable city in the eyes of man like Jerusalem or one of the great cities of refuge that we read about in the Old Testament. It's a humble little city. It is yet today. It's south of Jerusalem, where shepherds would be found grazing their sheep on the hillsides. And we are told that Bethlehem was founded by Salmon and Rahab and their son Boaz. And of course, we know that David is descended directly from Boaz and Ruth. This city is it's about 6 miles southwest of Jerusalem. And it's about 2,500 feet above sea level. And it's in a hill country of Judah. It's actually a lower elevation. You're coming downhill from Jerusalem as you are heading into that city. And you can actually see from different parts of Jerusalem, you can actually see those down that area where those hills are at. David has tended his father's sheep in and around Bethlehem and in his youth. And he could remember drinking from a well that was in Bethlehem where he also watered his sheep, no doubt, many, many times. And the area around Bethlehem was very fertile in that day. And it was also where wheat was grown, and it grew plentifully. And the very name Bethlehem, we understand, means the house of God's bread. And the water that came from the wells in that area, that the waters were good, they were cool, they were refreshing. And if you've ever moved around in your life, moved from one city to another, one state to another, sometimes just one locality to another, you'll notice that the water has a unique taste wherever it is that you live. And sometimes you'll move from one place to another, and it takes quite a while for your taste buds to adjust. Water tastes like water, and you just there's no certain element or no certain flavor. After a while, if you're drinking it routinely, there's nothing that really stands out in your mind until you go drink water from another source, and you're drinking it from another source. I remember when we lived in Lompoc in California, and my parents moved to a little village called Vandenberg Village, about 4 miles away. Lompoc was in a valley, and I think they got their water from wells and also from Lake Kachuma, I think, or Lake Lopez. And in Vandenberg Village, it was a hilly area. It wasn't in the valley. And the water that they brought up, it smelled like sulfur and kind of tasted like sulfur. And it's hard to ignore that when you've had water that tasted different. Are you with me? Good, bad, or indifferent, it's water that you're used to. So in this case, the water that David was drinking in Bethlehem, not only was it different, but there was something special about it. You know, maybe the certain combination of minerals that were in the water, and it was just very refreshing. It was when you drank from it after you're really thirsty and you're laboring, you're working, and when you drank from it, it satisfied. And so David, he's a fugitive, and when you're away from home, you long for things that are familiar. You know, we don't spoil ourselves when we go out on the field, when we go to different countries, and particularly third world countries, but we do try to bring something that's familiar, because there's something soothing about familiarity. And so I'll bring a little electric heater that will work on 120 volts, 240 volts, You know, you never know what kind of voltage that you're going to be dealing with. So I bring this little heating element, and then we bring a little bottled water. Of course, we get bottled water wherever it is that we're at. And then I'll bring some familiar coffee so that I can at least have a good cup of coffee no matter where I'm at, right? This is a crude analogy here, but, you know, David's traveling around. He's barricaded from being able to go back to Bethlehem, his very familiar territory where he spent so much of his life, so many of his years. He's having to move from place to place. He's dwelling in a cave right now. And there's just an ache in his heart. And there's a desire in his heart. He's so close to Bethlehem, practically he can smell the water. And there's a desire in his heart to have some of that cool, crisp, refreshing water from his youth in Bethlehem. So we know there was fertile soil. There was fresh water in that area. And of course, we know that they didn't rely on irrigation. So there were seasonal rains that fell that would they would allow them to grow mainly. They mainly grew wheat in that area. They could have grown other things, I suppose. And maybe they did grow other things. But the main crop was wheat. And much of the wheat that was harvested from that region was made into bread in Bethlehem. And Jesus was born in this humble little town. You know, you hesitate to even call it a city because it's so small and so humble. And he himself is the bread of God that came down from heaven. And he is the very same bread that fell from heaven and fed the children of Israel in their journey from Egypt on their way to the land of the promise. And he is also the well of living water that satisfies the thirst for God that's down in the heart of man. Not the thirst for the world, but the thirst for the living God. And this water is life-giving, and it sustains you. And he is also the very same water that was the water from the rock in the wilderness for Israel. David is now a fugitive. He's living in caves. He's moving around from place to place, and he's seeking refuge. And it's harvest time. And David is hot. And David is thirsty. And no doubt there's dust in the air from the harvest activities. And he thinks back to the times when he would often drink of this thirst-quenching water from the wells of his fathers in Bethlehem. He's a little bit homesick, I'm sure. And David said his words, "Oh, that one would give me drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." So he's very specific. From that particular place. Nothing else. I don't want carbonated. I don't want Pepsi. I don't want Mountain Dew or Jolt. I want that water from that place. So he was thirsting for that life-giving water that was by the gate of the city. But we know that at that time, the Philistines, they were garrisoned around Bethlehem, and they were keeping David and his men from getting to this well. And David just spoke a few words, and three of his warriors acted on that desire. Friends, I just think that's amazing, don't you? He just spoke what the desire was on his heart, and these men went into action. Now, it's not clear exactly who these exact three warriors were, because David mentions, as we read here in Samuel, he mentions 37 of his warriors in Samuel chapter 23, and he speaks seemingly of two groups of three warriors. He identifies each one by name in one of the groups, and he speaks of some of their exploits. And then he goes on to speak of two more of another group of three before going on to speak of others. And you know, I kind of like the fact that it's vague as to exactly who was who, because it doesn't matter who these three were. These three that went and got water for him, that could have been you. That could have been anybody. You see, there's no big I's or little U's in the kingdom of God. And it isn't just for some of us to be able to do a service for our King. We just know that a mere tithe, if you will, of the 37 of his most valiant warriors took it upon themselves to fulfill David's desire. So notice, these three, they didn't say, hey, you know what? Did you hear what David said? Let's go have a prayer meeting, because I'm not sure, you know, this is what he wants. I think this is maybe something that we ought to do, but maybe we ought to go pray about it. And not only, you know, if the answer is yes, well, maybe we better pray about whether this can happen or not, or whether we'll get back safely, whether we'll get back without spilling it. No. And they didn't have a town hall meeting. It wasn't a democracy. They didn't have a meeting to see who would go. Oh, friends, when God moves on your heart, you know, it's sad many times because we'll look around. Somebody ought to do something about this. Somebody ought to do that. Yeah, you know who that is? You. It came upon your heart. You're supposedly the expert now, because you think it ought to be done. Well, get busy then. Oh, no, I don't want to do that. Well, come on. Who do you want to do it? I've been at parties and functions over the years where I've actually seen people sit in a certain spot and you know, they're eating or doing whatever it is that they're doing, and as you come by, they want to tell you, oh, there's something there on the floor, or somebody ought to do this. And it's like, I think we have enough chiefs. You know, we could use a few more Indians, though. They didn't have a prayer meeting. They didn't have a town hall. They didn't have a big discussion. They didn't even ask David if David wanted them to go. And I'm sure that they didn't advertise to everybody what it was that they were doing. They didn't blow their horn and, you know, look at what we're doing. And they just grabbed their swords, friends, and they said, let's go. When? Let's go now. Because our soon and coming King is thirsty. Our leader is thirsty. Our leader is desiring a cool, crisp drink of that water. And he ought to have it. He's worthy of it. His desire is for the waters of the well of Bethlehem. Let's go get it. Let's go take it at once. Could you imagine if the natural church was tasked with this? Could you imagine all the politics that would come with it? All the debates and All that, well, I think we ought to do it this way, and I think we ought to do it that way. What you ought to do is whatever the Lord puts on your heart. The nominal church of today, they wouldn't even hear him when he says, I desire a thirst-quenching drink. No, the nominal church, friends, is more concerned about what they want versus what he desires. And because of their, that's selfish, because of their selfishness, they often come with a critical spirit. They're ready to complain when their desires are not being satisfied. No wonder they don't get anywhere with God. I trust that isn't you tonight. I believe that isn't you tonight. No wonder they're never satisfied. No wonder they never taste of those life-giving waters. Friends, it's impossible that you're drinking from those life-giving waters and you're sitting around complaining. And you're sitting around moaning and groaning, and you're sitting around, why don't they do this? And why don't they do that? And I wish this, and I wish that. I'm thirsty. Well, go drink, dummy. They're too busy expecting somebody else to give them a drink. Oh, help us tonight. Friends, I'm trying to help you. They're so busy expecting somebody else to give them a drink instead of watering first the Holy Spirit that should be living in their heart. Is certainly living in the church of the living God. Now, if they'd have come on a Wednesday night and put forth a little effort to satisfy the king's needs first. But instead, many will say, well, hey, that's not my job. Well, whose is it? Well, it's the song leader's. Listen, the song leader gets up here to worship, and you're supposed to join in. The song leader doesn't come up here for you to look back and stare and, well, I don't like that song, and this one's too fast, and, you know, that seems a little rocky, and that seems a little bumpy. You know what happens if you get into the Spirit? It just all, I don't care if you can't carry a note in a bucket. I don't care if you can't sing at all. You just get in the Spirit, and things will just start to flow. I've heard the musicians tell us, and you know when the anointing is flowing, and I've heard the musicians tell me many, many times, you know what, I didn't know I could play that, or I didn't know I could do this. It drives out, when you just let go, you worship, it drives all the nervous spirits out, it drives all the sleep demons out, it drives all the worried demons out. Amen. Now we come in with that many times, and that's okay, just come. But let's don't stay that way. Let's come and get refreshed. Let's come and get renewed. Let's come and give water to our King. Let's come and give a drink to the Holy Spirit. And then we'll be able to say amen. Then we'll be able to enter in and water the word. Then we'll leave rejoicing. We'll leave saying, you know, that's just as I've always remembered it. This is the same water that I started drinking when I was born again of the Spirit. And it's just as refreshing tonight as it was the first time I drank it. So glad to drink that. So instead of some manufactured cocktail, some manufactured drink, I'm so glad to drink of that very same water. That Pentecostal drink. Does it satisfy tonight, friends? Somebody say that. It satisfies. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So, if they were willing to water the king first, but instead, oh no, it's somebody else's job, and I'm going to sit back and criticize. You know, some people, well, actually, the terminology that's used nowadays is they'll sit on you. That's somebody that you're preaching and they're, you know, they're not going to say amen. They're studying you. They're listening. They're sitting on you. And you can feel that. So guess what? You're trying to shake off this and you're trying to shake off that. And you're trying to fight your way to that Holy Ghost water. And now you've got somebody sitting on you. It was hard enough as it was to try to get a drink of water, to try to get a taste, to try to get the Holy Spirit stimulated, moving in your life. But now somebody's sitting on you. Somebody's got a hold of your arm and you're having to drag them along too. Somebody's up on your shoulders. But who's going to fight? It's a battle. It's a battle. If you want a drink of those waters, you're going to have to press. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have to take that sword. And you're going to have to say, I don't care what's in my way tonight. I came to worship God. I came to get a cool, clear drink. I came to get delivered. I came to have Him lift me up. I came to lay my burdens before the Lord. I came to get cheered up. And I'm not letting anything get in my way. I don't care if one musician's playing this and another one's playing that and the song leader can't sing. I don't care. That's not the case here. Let's just clear that up. But we could have the best concert up here, but if you don't press, if you don't decide within yourself, you know what? I've come to drink. I've come to get a drink of that cool water, that life-giving water, that refreshing water. And I will not be denied. Nothing's going to stop me. I'm going to press. If I have to kill 800, watch out, friends. I'm going to press. Somebody say, praise the Lord. We get that kind of an attitude, we won't want to leave church. Let alone we can't wait for those doors to come open. Somebody's got to get an attitude. Somebody's got to decide, you know what, God, you promised that to me. I need it. I can't live without it. So I'm going to fight my way through unbelief. I'm going to fight my way through critical spirits. We'll have people sit here, clear up to the end of the service, and things that are being preached, they'll look at one another. And then they're leafing through their Bible to see if it was so. You didn't even get a drink before you came. Or before the word came forth. You're not here to judge the word. The word is here to judge you. And if you're born again of the Spirit of God, you say, bring it on. It's not beating you down, it's setting you free. It's cutting away this and cutting away that. Might as well have church. So they're not willing to give the Son of God, the Holy Ghost, a cool drink through the praise of their lips. Now, before you imagine that you're giving praise to Jesus out there somewhere, recognize that if the Holy Spirit is in you, that's where the drink is taking place. And that's what you're trying to feed. That's what you're trying to water. So you can work up an amen every now and then, or at least a loud nod. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Friends, we don't have to. These things come on all of us. These little fussy demons, these little, you know, annoyed demons, these little he didn't shake my hand demons, whatever it might be, or I'm mad at so-and-so demons. You don't have to stay that way. Get a drink of that water. Amen. Let it clean out the pipes. We got the plumbing cleaned out. Let's get it flowing in the building. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So they put the Son of God out of the church in this last church age, and they refused to give him what he desires. He desires a drink, friends. So Saul, we understand, he's a type of the backslid nominal church leadership. And the Philistines, they're a type of the dead churches that are garrisoned around Bethlehem. They're around the house of God's bread, but they're not benefiting from it. But they're going to make sure that not only are they not going to benefit from it, but nobody else is either. So if you want to benefit from the house of God's bread, you're going to have to fight through them. Well, I don't feel like it. I don't care how you feel. You will feel like it once you break through. Isn't that true, friends? The lukewarm churches, they don't want the bread of life. And they don't want the thirst-quenching Pentecostal waters. They'll call it all kinds of names. They'll say that was for the past. But worse than that, friends, they are blocking the way of access to those that desire to eat and to drink. So we see in the shadow type that in order to get to that bread of life, and in order to get to that thirst-quenching water, you're going to have to fight your way to it. Now, I wish it wasn't that way. I wish we could just all come to church and we're all amped up. And every one of us is, you know, we pull out our cord and we plug it in and all of us are turned on. And the gain is turned up. All of us are tuned to the same channel. We're all thinking the same thoughts. We're all going the same direction. We're listening to the prayer requests when they come forth. Just in case we might get called on. That'd be one reason. But for the other reason is that you're going to join in and pray for these needs, right? Hallelujah. I wish that it just automatically was that way. But it's always a press. There's always a price to pay. And we need to grow up a little bit sometimes. Because we let this get in the way and let that get in the way. And it's silly after a while. It's silly, the excuses that people will come up with. You can't live without it. You can't live without it. You don't want to live without it. It's life-giving waters. And the church says, hallelujah. So this isn't a picnic. This is a battle. And Christ, in this hour, in this last age, he's a fugitive from his own church. And he's looking for warriors tonight, friends, that will fight to water the Holy Spirit in this age. Sons and daughters of God that'll use the sword and fight their way through all the unbelief and get to that bread of life and to that living water. You have to feed that gene that's down on the inside of you. And you have to feed it the word. And you have to water it with spirit and with truth. So the Son of God tonight, friends, is desiring a drink of water. Who will say this evening, his desire is my command? He doesn't have to tell me to do it. I just know that's his desire. And since I know that's his desire, let his desire be my command. Let me stop at nothing. Let me press through. Listen, if your bladder's bothering you, go to the bathroom. Plumbing's working just fine. But then come back in here and worship God. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Well, I've had a hard week. That may be true. I'm depressed. That also may be true. I'm going through this trial or that trial. That may be true. You know, those of us, there's a lot of things I don't understand, of course, and a lot of things that we probably won't understand until we're to the other side. But there are those of us that were born in late December to towards the 20th, I think, of January, and they're under the sign that's called Capricorn, right? And it's on the Jewish calendar, it's the 10th month, and on the Jewish calendar, just as the Gregorian or Augustan calendar, it's winter, right? And those of us that are born under that sign, there's a heaviness that comes over us. I don't know if it does it over you Aries or Geminis or Virgos. I don't know what it does to all the rest of you, but I do know what it does to Capricorns many times. There's a heavy blanket that comes over us. But guess what? We're on to that. Right? We're on to it and we recognize it. We have a punch coming. Right? And so what do? We recognize it for what it is and we press right on through anyway. But guess what? I could be a baby and give in to it. I could be a baby and just be moping and, you know, and blame it all on the weather. Blame it all on the lack of light. The shortest day of the year. Blame it all on the overcast skies. Blame it all on this or that. Or I could say, I don't care what birth sign I'm born under. I don't care what the circumstances are. I don't care how tired I am. I don't care how hard the week has been. I don't care how many people are against me. I don't care how much I have to stand alone sometimes. I'm going to give him praise. And I'm going to have joy. And I'm going to have peace. Because it's here tonight, friends. You got to get that through to you. You got to quit accepting excuses. Because you can have it tonight. You can have joy. You can have peace. You can be happy tonight. You can have overcoming power tonight. You can have hope about your future. You can have comfort. You can be revived. You can be recharged. Your anxiety can leave you. But it's up to you. It is. I could preach all day long, all night long. You say, well, you do anyway. But if you're not willing to fight for it, it won't do you any good. At least use a new excuse once in a while. Come on, friends. Let's don't call him a liar. This is available to anyone tonight. If you're willing to fight for it. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, I remember when I was like that shortly after I got saved. If that's your testimony, you're backslid. If somebody were to ask you, what's the best day of your life? You should say today. Well, that would be a lie. Well, there's something wrong with you then. Because you're in a walk with him, right? Is he any less God tonight than he was when he made himself real to you? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody else put your sword out there and join me tonight. Hallelujah. Chase all those Philistine excuse soldiers out of the building. Garrisoned around our water supply. Oh, I just got back from a trip and I'm tired. Now, no doubt you are. But you won't eat or drink unless you're willing to pay a price. Well, I just got back from a trip. Okay, so that means you're not going to eat tonight at home. That means you aren't going to drink, right? Because you're tired. Is there anybody in the building tonight that has that testimony? You know, today was so hard, so I'm just not going to eat because it was so hard. I'm depressed, so I won't eat. No, you'll eat twice as much. But you're not eating what you should be eating. Hallelujah. Can I get a witness from the Capricorns tonight? I see it on you too, so I know it's true. So I go out of my way to encourage you and pray that you'll do the same. But I will not be denied. I won't. I want to just tell every Philistine, I'm not looking at you. I want to tell every Philistine here tonight, because they come to church, demons, trying to keep me from that living water. I want to put them on notice. I will not be denied. I'm not leaving unhappy. I don't care how I came. I know how I'm going. What's it worth to us in this hour, friends? Oh, I wish we were having a revival. And since we're not, I'm going to go to another church. Guess what? You fall for that, you will always be going to another church. But look at what happened. Yeah, that's what you expected. But that isn't the recipe. Friends, I don't care. I'm going to preach it anyway. Need to grow up a little bit. When you need a revival, get in revival. Start calling on the Lord. Ask for prayer, whatever it is. But you get in revival. You don't have to go somewhere for a revival. You are the revival. I hope you still love me afterwards. But if you'll take this medicine, it'll do you good. We need to reprogram our minds, and I'm reprogramming tonight with the Word. We need to dispel these things. Well, I can't have a revival at home because nobody else is in revival. What's it have to do with anybody else? Listen, friends, if nobody has a revival here and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you have one. And if nobody else benefits from it, you have it anyway. When you guys run off to different places, don't think the ministers don't talk to me. Just letting you know that. Somebody say, praise the Lord. When you need a revival, when you need a cool drink, when you need fresh manna, then you get to pray. And you get to pressing. How long? Until. Until revival breaks out in you. And you won't be able to contain it. You bring that revival to church, it'll begin to pour out a little bit. It'll provoke someone in a good way to good works. Listen, friends, you get around somebody that's in revival, it causes you to want to get in revival. But if you're glum and gloom and doom, and you get around somebody else that's glum and gloom and doom, well, here, I'll give you the gas. Go ahead and pour it over yourself. You need some matches? Here they are. Here, I'll give you the rope. You can throw them over the rafters and have a swinging party. Why? If there was no water, I get it. If there was no refreshment, I get it. If there was no times of refreshing, I get it. Drink, oh drink, my people. It's available tonight if you're willing to fight for it. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So these Gentile warriors, they were a type of sons and daughters of God in the church throughout the church ages who are willing to fight for the king's very desire. And friends, I understand that when these three warriors went out to fight, when they went through the host of the Philistines and they fought their way to get to that water, they didn't just go arm in arm and march forward with their swords. They actually stood back to back. Three of them standing back to back. And as they went through, they rotated. And every place that they stabbed was forward. Whatever direction was forward. But guess what? When you're standing back to back, you can't stab anybody in the back. When you're standing back to back, you got that person's back. And they got your back. And the only direction you can go is forward. One might be going forward, and then you rotate, and another one's going forward, and then another one's going forward, but you're going forward. It's a type of the fivefold ministry also. The fivefold ministry are standing back to back, and they're fighting through. They've got each other's back. And the church, the laity, is the same way, friends. We've got to have one another's back. We've got to not have to give a thought about what's behind us, but what's in front of us. And knowing if something does come from behind us, the one behind us is going to take it out. Oh, so-and-so has this need, and so-and-so has this problem. Well, you ought to be using your sword right now. You ought to be down in prayer, praying for them. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Always moving forward. No retreat. They have faith in their leader and they're pressing on. Blessed be the name. How many has faith in Jesus Christ here tonight? The Holy Spirit to take his church through to a rapture? So the swords that they're carrying, they cut away anything that comes against that word. And many times, things that are coming against that word is feelings, imaginations, emotions. So it'll cut away anything that will stand between them and those cool Pentecostal waters. Listen, friends, Jesus fought through death and hell to bring those waters to us, to make those living waters available to us. And we find that when the warriors gave that water to David, well, then David takes it and pours it on the ground. Now, in the natural, if that was just a natural thing that was being played out, it wouldn't make a lot of sense. In fact, it would seem kind of disrespectful because they paid such a price to obtain this, and then he poured it on the ground. But it's a shadow. It's a type of Spirit God saying, this is not for me. This is being poured out by the Son so that all may partake. Friends, he's provided us with the bread for this journey. He's provided us with the water for this journey. And there's enough to carry us through to a rapture. This takes place in Judah's land. And it's not a coincidence. We know Judah, the tribe of Judah, Judah means praise. It's the praise tribe. So it takes place in the praise tribe. Well, you're just trying to work me up. I don't care what I'm trying to do. Drink, my people. Get what you need. Guess what? When you get what you need, you'll not only have what you need, but you'll have something left over to help somebody else. And you'll actually be thinking about them instead of you. What a blessing. Hallelujah. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we find this same scene playing out again when Jesus meets the woman at the well. And it's some 20-something miles north and 10 miles or so north of Jerusalem and near a little town called Sychar and at Jacob's well. And he asks her first to give him a drink. So you see what's being played out here? He asks you first to do him a service. That's his desire. Oh, friends. He wants to be loved. He wants to be appreciated. He wants to be recognized in your life. Amen. He created you to worship him. God needs your worship. He doesn't just want it, he needs it. And you are what he created to satisfy that. And guess what? When you get out of yourself and get out of your element, that's what you want to do. And there's not a creature anywhere in the animal kingdom, in the bird kingdom, the fish, or anywhere else. In the heavenly realm, there's not a creature that can worship God like you. Because God is making himself known to you in a way that he's not to any of the rest of his creation. And when you experience his love, when you experience his salvation, when you experience his deliverance, when you experience him restoring your family, when you experience these things, you automatically worship. Amen. And you're doing it from your heart because you know it's true. He's my healer. He's my deliverer. He's my rock. He's my strong tower. He's my hope. He's my comfort. He's my sanity. It's not a workup. It's a reaction to an action. You see, he acted first. Now, what's your reaction? That was pretty good. You don't know what he's done for you yet. Help us, Lord. Amen. Listen, if you're one of those mopey people, don't mope here tonight. Just say, thank you, Lord. You just gave me a key. You don't have to be a mopey person. I could be mopey too. I choose not to. Yeah, but I can come up with as many excuses as you can. They might not sound as lame as yours, but... And some of them are real. So what? Come on, church. Trying to help you. Let go of it. You've got a hold of the hand of a mopey devil. Let go of the hand. Say, you know what? Get out of here. I'm done with you. I deserve to be happy. I deserve to have peace. I deserve to have rest. I deserve to be able to walk with my head up. Jesus Christ paid the price for it. You know what? I would hate to get over to the other side and face him with everything left on the table. So in other words, he took stripes on his back for your healing, right? He shed his blood for your salvation, your cleansing. He sanctified himself for your sake, right? He did all of these things, and they have a benefit. And for us to leave it on the table, in other words, not take advantage of it. Amen. What does that say? Mamas, you make your most gourmet dinner and you slave for all day long or however long it takes you. And then we come to the table and, well, I'm not very hungry. How would you feel? How about the one that paid the price for you? How about, friends, it's all here tonight. We have no excuse to leave this building the same way we came in. No matter what it is. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. So, Jesus meets this woman at the well. And the first thing he says is, give me to drink. Give me to drink. And then the conversation changes. We're not going to go into it in detail, but give me to drink. And then the conversation changes to, if you knew who it was, you'd ask me for a drink. He's that living water that she thirsted for. Friends, you are the warriors of this last age. Get that through your head. Who, me? Yeah, you. Well, I'm just a nobody. Well, isn't that more God honoring? That God could take a little, you don't think you're nothing, nobody, and make a mighty warrior out of you? I believe any one of you here tonight, just one, I don't care who it is, the newest member, the newest convert, the most seasoned, I don't care. If one of you comes into this building saying, you know what, we're going to get what we have, what we came here for, it'll change the service. Song leader will come up and just the sanctuary's milky. The praise will just break out. Maybe we wouldn't even have organized singing. Maybe we would just start singing as the Spirit moves. Just start giving. Isn't that where we're trying to get to? Isn't that where we labor for an hour or 2 hours hoping to get to that place? Why not just start there? Some of you need to quit thinking. Stop. Just listen. And quit looking at me. I'm going to give you some quotes and then you can get mad at him in a minute. But you know you want this. Every one of you is here for that reason. You all want it. But who's willing to fight for it? So you are the warriors of this last age. and the other past ages, those, when we meet them, actually before we go to the other side, they're going to want to shake your hand. You're a last age warrior? Wow. Thank you. Let me shake your hand. You did this in the darkest hour, the most evil age, the most deceitful. Come on, friends. And yet you took that sword and said, even in Satan's Eden, I can get a drink. I don't care if I am in Satan's Eden. I can have a Holy Ghost revival. Friends, you want to upset the devil? Just have a revival. He won't stick around. He hates it. You start overcoming, he hates it. Oh, if I overcome, he's going to attack me more and more. He'll flee from you. So you've got a sword in your hand tonight, friends. But it's up to you to fight through the unbelief to get to the bread and the water. Amen? And that unbelief is whatever is going through your mind. It's not what's going through somebody else's, it's what's going through your mind. Don't blame it on the church. I'm going to read some statements. We'll pull over. Is that okay? Thank you. Didn't give you a chance to answer. Amen. Why little Bethlehem? Brother Ram says, he cried out, if I only had a drink from that well again. I'm getting close now. Listen close. If I only had a drink. Inside of him cried out, if I could only drink once more from that well at Bethlehem. His desires was a commandment to those that loved him. How many loves him tonight? Remember, his soul was crying for a drink of that water. And those who loved him, his least desire was a command. How many can say that tonight? His least desire was a command. We're told that three of those men got together, great men. One killed 800 by himself. The other one jumped into a pit and killed a lion. One took a stick and knocked a spear out of an Egyptian's hand and slew him with his own spear. Took a stick and knocked the spear out. And then took the spear and knocked him out. And stood on a field of lentil like that and killed 300 around him. Great men. They were Gentiles. Watch where they come from. Friends, you ought to shout just to know they're Gentiles. Because they weren't foreshadowing Israel. They're foreshadowing you. You are going to do something that Israel hasn't done yet. Again, David here is a type of Christ, Bethlehem, because Christ is David's son. Here he's standing there crying for a drink of that water. And his desire was a command. I said to those who loved him, three of those men pulled their swords and fought 15 miles of men down to that city. While others fought keeping, them were gallant fighting men. Those Philistines, twice their size, some of them. But they were men gallant who could fight. One of them slew, stood alone handed and killed 800 men right around him in one day. They were great men. They trusted God. They had faith in their leader, and they cut his way down through until while some of them cut and the other one got a bucket of water and they cut their way back through another 15 miles of men. It's you got to get there, but now you got to come back with it. Don't let the devil rob you of your praise. And brought that up to David so that he could drink it again. Paragraph 119, he says, here Christ is represented here in this, both king and warrior, because he cut his way through. He broke the enemy's lines of death. He broke the enemy's lines that we might have eternal life, the waters of eternal life. He come through even to death and took death upon himself and died to death and come back that we might have eternal life. He's both king and warrior. We didn't conquer. It's already conquered. We never conquered death. He conquered death for us. He is our David of this day. He is our David of this day. We have a David that's here tonight, friends. He conquered death. Bethlehem's bread and water. Paragraph 134. Oh, warrior sons. Oh, warrior sons. This is more than David. Oh, warrior sons. You men here that claim to be a son, did you know what David represented? David represented Christ. He was. Christ was the son of David. Now listen, in closing, those Gentile warriors, many of them, notice, they come from everywhere. But they knowed that that fugitive was anointed. How many knows that Christ is anointed tonight? They knew David was rejected by his own people. But they know the anointing was on him. They could see it. So they stood right by his side. Die or live, they were gallant men, no matter how much the outside world didn't believe it. That's the kind of a stand we need to take in this hour. No matter what the world says, no matter what religion says. His own people kicked him out. They didn't want nothing to do with him. Saul ran him out. The head of the denomination kicked him out and had nothing to do with it. The council kicked him out and he became a fugitive. They had to go wherever he could. There he was up in the mountains. Think about it tonight, friends. We have organized religion across the globe. We have churches that are hundreds, some thousands of years old. We have clergy. We have established order and rules and regulations. And he's not in any of those places. None of them, because they kicked him out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. Brother Branham said one of the saddest, he said, when I read that, I laid my head over the desk and wept. He said, one of the saddest scriptures in the Bible. Jesus, listen to this. Jesus being put outside of his own church, Pentecost. He said, Pentecost being put outside of Pentecost. So Pentecost doesn't have Pentecost. So people say, oh, well, you know, Pentecost, that was back then, and we've gone further and we're off into this. We're not talking about an organization. We're not talking about a denomination. We're not talking about a move that took place in 1906. We're talking about the living God in the church, in your heart. Amen. Friends, we are finally at the time when nobody has to work this up for you. We are at the time when he is dwelling in a body, having the preeminence, to the point that every one of us can be a one man, one woman revival. Every one of us can change the atmosphere. Well, I'm just a son or daughter of God, anointed of the Spirit of God. Listen, friends, if he's kicked out of everywhere else and he's in you, whom do you have to fear? What can keep you from his promises? What can stand in your way? His own people kicked him out. They didn't want nothing to do with him. Saul run him out. The head of the denomination kicked him out. Nothing to do with it. The council kicked him out and he became a fugitive. They had to go wherever he could. There he was up in the mountains, but there was a little group of men, of Gentiles and so forth, made up, that they looked at that man and they knowed he was coming king. How many can say that tonight? I know. I know. Christ is coming into his kingdom. He's the soon and coming king. He's my king right now. Blessed be the name of the Lord. His desire is my command. Again, paragraph 136. So is it today with real gallant soldiers of faith of that word, who knows that that word promises that Jesus Christ will return. We ain't interested in millions of dollars of this and millions of dollars of that. I'm interested in the return of Christ Jesus. Oh, warriors, sons of God, what's the matter with you? How do you stand today? When we see that the Bible predicts that he's a fugitive today, turned out of his church, turned out of the organization, and you know it, he says. No need of hiding around about it. It's the truth. This is his Christmas message. The Bible said that it would be that way. Come out from them, marks of the beast. To reject the Holy Spirit is to take the mark. Look at these men. They pulled their swords. What was it? His desire was a drink of cool water. David, listen to this. He's called a holy roller. What a type of today, our David, Christ. We know he's called a holy roller. He's cast off to one side, a fanatic in everything. Listen, friends, if we do have a worship service where we're giving him a drink of water, you will be called a fanatic. You will. We've been wearing that badge of honor for 30-something years now. People look down on us and say, well, they're just Pentecostal. Yeah, guilty as charged. And more. Everything. This is not a, he's giving us this now, so throw that away. It's all of that plus. I still believe in being justified. I still believe in being sanctified, living right. I still believe in the restoration of the gifts. I still believe in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, where Christ comes down. You ask him to kill you and you die. And then he raises that gene up into newness of life. And you become a soldier. You become a warrior. You become a fanatic. You know what the word fanatic means? Brother Branham said, a fanatic is somebody that has more victory than you do. And we shorten that word a lot of times. We'll use it for sports and we'll say, oh, he's a golf fan or he's a football fan. Oh, he's a Wildcat fan. How many of you are season ticket holders? Don't raise your hand. But I'll tell you what, if you're a real fan and you're out there shouting, you better start to praying if you're not shouting here. Now, if you're shouting there and shouting here, good. But don't be more of a fanatic there than you are here. During the seals, you'll hear Brother Branham talk about this. This man came to Brother Branham and told him, said, Brother Branham, I'm just not the shouting type. And Brother Branham says to him, say, Bud, or whatever his name was, wasn't that, weren't you just over in Louisville? Brother Branham could hear it from across the river. Weren't you just over at that game over in Louisville? I could hear all the shouting and the screaming. Was you there? Now, being a prophet, he probably knew whether that guy was shouting or not. What do you think? I'm just not the shouting type. You just need to get born again. The children of Israel, they pass through the Red Sea. They come forth on dry ground. The taskmasters are chasing after them. And they turn around and they see the seas closing in on them, drowning these Egyptian taskmasters. And they started shouting. Oh, I know they worked it up. Oh, I know that. I know that Sister Cornelia picked up a tambourine and started going jingle, jingle, jingle. And then somebody looked over, well, the nerve of her. Next thing you know, Sister Joyce is going to shout. She's going to work something up. And I'm going to sit back like this. I'm not going to respond. I'll show you. That's just a workup. Yeah, you miserable church member, you. Brother Branham said she picked up that tambourine. And the sisters began to follow her. Amen. Brother Branham said, if that wasn't an old-fashioned meeting, I don't know what it was. He said, did you know that Moses was a tongues man? He said Moses shouted, Moses sang, the sisters worshiped. Oh, but it was just such a workup, Sister Cornelia. No, see, Sister Cornelia looked back and saw those taskmasters that said, you can't have your family. And she saw them drowning. And she knew right then the victory was hers. And so she said, well, that was pretty good. If it happens, friends, that's shouting material. Well, I'm just not the shouting type. You are the shouting type. Just let me follow you around. I'll find out what causes you to shout. I got the winning lottery ticket, but don't tell anybody. I'm happy, though. $10 million, but I'm not the shouting type. Come on, friends. Something will stir you. Amen. You say, no, I contest that. Anything without emotion is dead.
Amen.
And if it's dead, what do you do with dead things? You bury them. And if you don't, what happens? It stinks. Formal worship stinks. In God's nostrils. And in yours too. We need to get out of order long enough to get saved, you know? Long enough to let God do something in our lives. Come on, friends. We're heading into a new year. We're turning a corner. Hallelujah. We're all together. We're all on the same page. We're in one unity of the Spirit. And we're headed towards a finish line. And on the other side of that finish line is Augustine Avila. You say, you're looking at him. No, I'm talking about his dad. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I thought it was, but I didn't get the shout. So I thought maybe I said the wrong name. You know how close he is tonight, Brother Augustine? You don't want him to come to church and you not come, do you? He's here tonight. Just on the other side. It's not way out there. It's right here. Brother Clayton, Sister Claire, Mike hanging over the fence. Amen. Fill in the blanks, friends. They're right here. And they're hoping that you'll come to church. Because you're going to take one more step. And they're going to take one more step. Glory to God. And if you don't think that'll be an old-fashioned meeting, it won't if we don't work up to it. Come on, friends. We've settled for, well, it's all in the past and things are changing and how come I don't have this anymore? Just have it.
Amen.
Don't put it in the past. Recognize it's yours tonight. The oil of the Holy Spirit is here tonight. I think we got some tin men here tonight. Anybody ever seen The Wizard of Oz? Remember they came up upon this guy and he's standing there? They started talking to him. And he couldn't move. So they took a little bit of oil and they squirted it in his mouth. Next thing you know, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Then he starts looking over at his arm. He can't move his neck. So they put a little oil on his neck, Brother Henry. A little bit here, a little bit there. They say, how's that? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Then he looks down at his shoulder. So they put a little bit in his elbow. Hallelujah, hallelujah. But that's not enough. Put it here. So they squirt a little bit in his arm. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This isn't the first time he's done it, but he just got a little rusty. He got a little inactive. And he needed a little bit of that oil. You say, well, there isn't any. Touch not that oil or that wine. You can take their life. You can do right up to that. But don't you touch that oil. Don't you touch that wine. Listen, friends, some of you are going through some hard times. But God knew. Listen, God knew what time, what you would be going through. And you can walk out in victory tonight. Because he's bought it, he's paid for it, and he wants you to have it. But you've got to be willing to invest a little bit here tonight. Come on. You've got to be willing to say, God, I'm going to fight for it. I believe it's mine. I believe I can have it. Glory. Hallelujah. Where were you when the sons of God shouted for joy and the morning stars sang? You know who that's speaking of? You. And you didn't shout before the foundation of the world. In God's thinking, God saw you shouting in this hour. You shouted when you saw your name on the book. You shouted when you realized, I'm not just a church member. I'm not just a mess. I'm not just a Republican. I'm not just a this or a that. I'm the son of the Most High. I'm a daughter of the King. I was made to worship. I'm a worshiping machine. My heart goes out to everybody and everything that you're going through. But he is able. And he has a balm for you tonight. He has a healing for you tonight. You can leave spiritually healed, emotionally healed, physically healed. You can leave with a peace tonight that passes all understanding. Amen. It's here. It's right here. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I hate a dead service. I hate dead worship. And I'm not saying that's what we have, but I hate it. Let's give him praise. Glory to God. Let me try and pull over here just a moment. Paragraph 138. Oh, come, stand with me by my side. I'm standing in a terrible place. I challenge today. These tapes go over the world. I challenge some man, some warrior who loves Jesus Christ that knows that these things has got to be fulfilled today. Brethren, come stand by my side. And pull the sword of God. Yes, sir. Reporting to duty. Forget those dried cisterns and stagnated denominations that you're living in. Pull the fresh word of God. Let's give Jesus a good drink of fresh Pentecostal water. That's his desire today. This is December of 1963, so don't play this before the seals or after. Yeah, I use the word Pentecost. It's not an organization. It's Christ. That's his desire today. Back to the original Pentecost. Back to the word. It's prophesied that we would do so. In Malachi, the fourth chapter, returning the faith of the children back to the fathers again. Who would stand this morning, he says. Oh, you Bethlehem dwellers, hallelujah. I call for men and warriors who's not afraid. I don't care if there's 800 standing on one side and 10,000 on the other. I want warriors who will come with me and cut a hole through this line of unbelieving Philistines. The World Council has got garrisoned around the Word of God, trying to make it creeds and feed the people. There's a well, there's a fountain open in the house of David, Bethlehem, for sin and uncleanness. Brother, sin is unbelief in His Word. Who warrior that can see the millennium coming? What warrior can see this great Holy Spirit come in the form of Jesus Christ, the literal body of Christ, to take over again? Stand with me. Stand by me. Let's cut a hole through this denominational creed. Let's get in there. He's crying for a good fresh drink of Pentecostal water. Original Pentecost, not a bunch of carrying on, screaming, hollering here. I mean a genuine Holy Spirit baptism that produces the life of Jesus Christ into the person. It'll bring all of these things. Oh, men of God, where's that sword? Our Lord desires a fresh drink. I don't care if it's life or death. Let's cut through this thing. It's so hard standing by yourself. I'm calling for men to stand by me. Stand with the word. What the word says, do it just the way the word said. I don't care what anything else says. Stay it that way, for that's the only thing that will cut. Let's get to Bethlehem, the true water of God. Listen, friends, this is your night. I didn't plan this. I didn't start out this way. The Lord put this on my heart, but I'm telling you tonight, in the name of the Lord, this is your night. Oh, men of God, where's that sword? Our Lord desires a fresh drink. I don't care if it's life or death. Let's cut through this thing. It's so hard standing by yourself. I'm calling for men to stand by me. Stand with the word. What the word says, just do it just the way the word said. I don't care what anything else says. Stay it that way, for that's the only thing that will cut. Let's get to Bethlehem, the true water of God. If a man abide in me and I in him, if you abide in me and my words in you, abiding, not just jumping from place to place and swapping your fellowship card from oneness to two-ness and three-ness and back to Presbyterian and Lutheran. Listen, friends, people will leave the church and then they'll be in revival, just like somebody that got divorced and then they get remarried. There's a little bit of revival. There's a little bit of a honeymoon. But if they're really happy, if they made a change and they're really happy, you should hear about how happy they are. Not what was wrong with the place they left. Don't listen to that. Shut your ears to it. Because what that is designed to do is to try to rob you of your revival. But you say, you know what? God bless you. Hallelujah. But I'm going to have my revival. I'm sorry things didn't work out for you. You went out from us because you weren't of us. Oh, you shouldn't have said that. Well, Paul did. Come on. You have your revival. Why is it that only the people that leave get to say something? Right? Come on, friends. We have nothing in our hearts against anyone. Right? If the Lord led you to go somewhere where you can benefit better, praise the Lord. Right? Go on. But don't try to proselyte and call everybody in the church. Promise to do things for you that they never did before. Oh, we're buds. Well, how come you never came to any of the functions then? But now all of a sudden you want to be buds. Come on, friends. Recognize that's a demon. I didn't call anybody a demon. I said, that's a demon. Go on. Go on. Go on. Go on. Oh, well, the reason why we left is because there's no unity. You mean that gossiping spirit, nobody wanted to hear it, and so there's no unity? Praise the Lord. There is unity. I don't know what church you've been going to, but there is unity. There is love. There is power. There is salvation. There is deliverance. There's everything that he said that there would be. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Glory. Hallelujah. I'm pulling over here in just a second. If a man, paragraph 144, if a man abide in me and I in him, if you abide in me and my words in you, abiding, not just jumping from place to place and swapping your fellowship card from oneness to two-ness and three-ness and back to Presbyterian and Lutheran. You abide in me, and he is the word. My words abide in you. Don't be afraid of 800 or 8 million. Well, I thought 800 was a big number. Don't be afraid of 800 or 8 million. I'll stand by your side. I desire to drink from that well again. God's going to have a people that will drink from that well. Hallelujah. You might think I'm crazy, and maybe I am. Then I'm crazy about Jesus Christ and his word. If I have to be called a fool, let me be called a fool for his word. I've never been against the men in them organizations. I'm against the system that's barring the word of God out. Let's cut, warriors. Stand by us. Let's go into the well. He is our Bethlehem. These old cisterns, the World Council of Churches organizing now, let's restore the fresh word of God, not a denomination. Let's not take a creed. That's old stagnated cisterns that fell 40 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, or either last year. Come on. I want God's word that's promised for today. Listen, friends, we're going to walk into word this year that we haven't walked into yet, because it's for today. That's the drink he wants me to have, this word today. It's little Bethlehem. It's rejected. Rise, you sons and warriors. Let's cut back to our original Bethlehem. Remember, when David came to the throne, these men stood by because they knowed that he was coming to the throne. They know that David was going to be on the throne. No matter how much he was rejected out, he was the worst fugitive in the land, and so is the true word of God this morning. It's foreign to organizations. Look at what they've done. That shows it right before you. People try to say, Brother Branham, you're knocking the church. I'm knocking the systems. The church is Jesus Christ, not a system. I'm going to pull over here in just a moment. I just got a little more reading to do. And today, look at what they've done. Look at what they're doing, and you can see what they're doing. They're trying to keep the people from that. They're garrisoning more and more around that well to be sure, listen to this, to be sure that nobody will drink from it. Whew. But, oh, warriors of God, I believe that Jesus Christ will come someday in glory. I believe that he will come and sit on the throne of David, of his father David, though he be a fugitive, his word this morning, rejected by his own people like David was. The organizations churned out his word. They churned out when God comes and vindicates his pure word. Don't tell me for years across the country, and they get farther away from it all the time. Let's go to Bethlehem. Lord, let every one of them, let all these women that surely, if they put up their hand, they was ashamed of themselves. Let them realize that these men will be like Mr. Kennedy one of these days. They'll be like the rest of the men. They have to die. These women are dying. I'm dying. We're all burning up here on the earth. And know that just a short time, we've only got a few days left, a very few days left. And God, instead of trying to build big systems, Lord, let men and women see this morning it's the coming of the King. Oh God, the coming of the great King Jesus. And we realize, God, that every one of those men that pulled that sword and fought for David when he was a fugitive, when he come into power, he made them rulers over cities. Every one of them had cities. And you promised that in the Bible that we would have cities. Oh God, as Gentiles, fell heir through Gentiles, that we might be partakers of his holiness and his righteousness. Let us today, Lord, as men warriors, take that word, knowing that those who stand for him in this hour, they'll be rulers over the cities. Not as we want to be rulers, but we want to be servants to you, Lord. Oh God, we see the vision of this little minority, this little group. It's called fanaticism. Paul said in his day, in the way that's called heresy, crazy, that's the way I want to fight, Lord. The word is truth. And thou art the word, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Last paragraph, if you'd stand here this evening. O God, anoint us with thy word. And bring thy word promised to this day to pass. May we leave this building this morning as shining instruments of God. May we go with the sword, it glittering in the air, and cut away every weight and everything else till we can get back the people to Christ and bring a cool, fresh drink to our Lord instead of all these old stagnated creeds. Let the people drink from the fountain a real, cool, refreshing Pentecostal blessing that it might bless his heart and bring him back among us again. Grant it, Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. What a prayer. Amen. Is that your desire tonight, friends? Yes. Don't get nervous. Well, I don't know. I don't want to act strange. It will make you act in ways that are unseemly, but not out of his order. If it's a genuine Holy Spirit moving on you, sisters, your dress will not fly over your head. Amen? Amen. He's a God of order. Amen. Who knows what he'll do in your life? The thing of it is, just let go and let God. Amen. Well, you know, I'm afraid I might get in the flesh. Well, I hate to newsflash. You are in the flesh. Right? Our goal is to get out of the flesh, but we're in the flesh. We have to start out mechanically sometimes. We have to start out saying, you know what? I don't feel like worshiping. I'm tired. I'm wore out. I can't even think straight. I've been going through a trial. I went through something. I didn't get any sleep last night, and I don't know how I'm going to get to sleep tonight because I've got this problem or that problem or this situation, but I'm just going to start praising God. I'm just going to start expressing my love to him. I'm going to start out mechanically because I don't feel like it at all. I start out mechanically preaching, friends. But let him come on the scene. Let the dynamics hit that. I got to give him something to work with. So do you. Amen. Start out in the natural. Let him meet you in the supernatural. And the church says amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We're going to have testimonies. We are, because some of you are going to step out. Some of you are going to take this and say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. You know what, I'm tired of being robbed. I'm tired of accepting this and accepting that. I've had some dry prayers and they haven't been answered, but I'm not going to have a dry prayer. I'm going to bring this before the Lord, and I'm going to bring it from my heart. I'm going to bring him praise. I'm going to get in the spirit. And then I'm going to bring my petition before the Lord. And watch out, devil. I don't care what's in the way. You're moving. You're not moving because of me. You're moving because of him. Hallelujah. Come on, friends. Who will take that sword tonight and say, I'll go with you. I'll fight for it. I'm going to fight against every bit of unbelief. Any criticism rises up in the church, I'm going to cut that away. Any distraction in the church, I'm going to cut that away. Anything that the devil puts in my path, I'm going to cut that away. And I'm going to get what God has promised me. I'm going to possess the gates of my enemies. Amen. Who would raise your hand tonight and say, that's me tonight? Hallelujah. I'm endeavoring to do that tonight, Brother Baker. I'm going to press. I'm going to fight. And if I'm just going to do it for my brother or my sister, I'll do it. But I'm going to do it. I'm going to get my portion. And I believe that there's enough fight in me. I believe that God has given me enough grace. He's given me enough strength. I believe he's given me a promise that if I press and I fight, not only will I be blessed, but my household, my church, my coworkers. I got Mr. Melancholy working with me. I believe that I can have such a revival that Mr. Melancholy can come out of his melancholy. Do you believe that tonight? Oh, I want God to get me out of this situation and that. No, let God change that situation. Let him provide a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. Let him give you a testimony. Let him come on the scene and show people that there's hope. There's a reason to shout. There's a reason to live. There's a reason to be happy. There's a reason to get up in the morning. There's a reason to press. There's a reason to keep going. Hallelujah. I believe that with all of my heart. And I'm going to pull my sword and stand with my messenger. Stand with my pastor. Stand with my church. Stand with my brothers and sisters. Stand in the place that God has placed me. And I'm going to fight. Come what may. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm going to keep my eye on that fresh, cool water. And I'll not stop at anything. Nothing is going to keep me from getting what God has promised. Amen. Somebody raise your sword tonight and say, that's me. I have decided, Brother Baker, I'm going to do that. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. God, I preach what you put on my heart. Lord, I know that it can be cutting, and I know that it's chopped up many times, and I'm just trusting in you, Lord. Forgive us for the chopped up way that we might bring things sometimes. But Lord, you know my heart. You know that this is not personal in the sense that this is all to cause us to go higher. This is to cause, Lord, we got to keep this vision before us. We got to preach this word in season, out of season. We got to preach it when we feel like it, when we don't feel like it. We got to press on, come what may. Because the victory is ours. You've promised it. You paid the price for it. But somebody's got to be willing to take that sword that you have placed back into our hands in this hour and strike out into the heart of the enemy and drive everything away, every bit of unbelief, anything that exalts itself above your word, whether it's feelings or emotions or conditions or circumstances or imaginations or false teachings or feelings. Lord, we want to have this mind that was in Christ. We want to be equipped with your word. And we want that word to have preeminence over everything in our lives. I pray that you move upon each and every heart, Lord. I pray, Lord, that everyone that raised their hand tonight that said, I'm going to do this. I have decided. I'm going to press. Press towards the mark, the high calling. I'm going to take that sword and I'm going to go straight forward with it. And I've got confidence that my brother has my back, my sister has my back, my pastor has my back, the deacons have my back, my mom has my back, the church has my back, but most of all, Jesus Christ has my back. The Word has my back. And Lord, I'm going to press. I hear the sound of thunder. And I know that there are rains that are waiting to fall. I hear the sound of loved ones on the other side that are screaming out, keep going, don't look at this and don't look at that. If you could only see on the other side, you just run with everything that's in you. You're almost home. You're almost there, but just keep going. Keep pressing. They ran their race. They did their part. But now let's run ours. Let's do our part. Let's don't look back. And when we say don't look back, don't look back at your own life and don't look back at those that have went over to the other side. They did their part. You do your part now. Say, God, I'm going to shine. It's my time to shine. It's my hour. I found myself in the volume of the book. And devil, you have no part in me and I have no part in you. I'm a son of God. I'm a daughter of God. Victory is my promise, and I'll stop at nothing short of that. I'm claiming my family tonight. I'm claiming my healing tonight. I'm claiming deliverance tonight. I'm claiming the Holy Ghost tonight. I'm claiming a body change tonight. I'm claiming a rapture tonight. I'm claiming the return of the church of all the ages tonight. I'm claiming the return of the King. I'm claiming that meeting in the air. And I'm claiming that I'll be a part of it. Who will go with me? Oh God, bless each and every heart now. Move upon every heart, Lord. May we just press with everything that's in us. God, our hearts go out to people that fall by the wayside or maybe don't share the same vision. And Lord, if they don't share the same vision, then may they, and if they can prosper somewhere else, we want that. But as for me and my house, Lord, we've started this direction. We'll continue it. We're not going to deviate to the right or the left. We're on the right path. You are confirming your word. You are vindicating that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are in a walk with you. And Lord, we look forward to laying trophies at your feet. Lord, to crowning you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Bless each and every one here tonight, Lord. A special blessing, oh God, on our visitors here tonight. Father, on the Price family and the Duckworth family, others that are visiting here tonight. Father, may your special blessing be upon each and every one. You know every one of our needs. Whether anybody else does or not, it doesn't matter. You know. And we're looking to you, Lord. We're expecting for you to do great exploits in each and every life. Bless each and every one. Father, may our friends go home with more than they came. And may we leave also with more than we came with as well. Father, may we just continue this new year and press, Lord, with everything that's in us. May we press like it's the last day that we have on the earth. The very end of the age. Lord, if you don't come for another 20 years, I won't be sorry if I pressed. But Lord, you could come tonight. You could come before the sun comes up in the morning. We don't know. All we know, Lord, is that we're going to fight with everything that's in us. We're going to press. And Lord, there'll be a time to lay down that sword, but it's not now. We'll press with everything that's in us. Bless my brothers, bless my sisters. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Nothing like the presence of the Lord. That's the truth. Amen. There's nothing like the presence. Nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence of, amen, amen, amen. There's nothing like the presence, nothing like the presence. How many knows that's true? There's nothing. His presence is here right now. He said he would be here. He's here. Nothing like presence. There's nothing. Just let go, friends. Just tell him I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord Jesus. I trust you, Lord. Play the verse. I feel Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room today. And when he's in the room, oh friends, things won't stay the same. They can't. Today. Let's sing that again. I feel Jesus. I feel Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room today. Thank you, Lord. When he's in the room, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel Jesus in the room today. Oh, there's
there's peace in His presence. Peace in His presence. Peace in the presence of the Lord. Oh, there's peace in His presence. There's peace in His presence. Peace in the presence of the Lord. There's healing in His presence.
Let Him heal you tonight, friends. Let Him heal your spirit. Let Him heal your wounds. Let Him heal your body. Let Him restore your hope.
Blessed be your wonderful name, Lord. Joy in the presence of the Lord. There's joy in the presence. Joy in the presence. There's joy in the presence of the Lord. I feel Jesus in.
Thank you, Lord. You're so faithful, Lord. You come whenever you're invited. I thank you, Lord.
And when He's in the room,
oh God,
things can't stay the same. They can't stay the same. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I feel Jesus. Oh, I feel Jesus. Jesus in the room. I feel Jesus in the room today. And when He's in the room, oh, things won't stay the same.
Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be your name. There's healing.